Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 29 of Fans of Power. I am Joe Amato, and I'm here with Brian Ozone and Tyler Baker. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
How you feeling, man? You sound like you're a little under the weather.
Yeah, I'm slowly dying, but I'm breathing.
Okay, well, yeah, as long as you're taking some medicine stuff and eating right, you'll be back to normal soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Now you feeling over there, T-Rex? How you doing?
Well, I'm all right, but, you know, we're not all here. Walter, the old man next door, we don't know where the hell he is.
Is that from The Burbs?
How about I just brought The Burbs to a He-Man podcast. I'm breaking new ground here as we speak, people.
Jeez, getting crazy with the cheese whiz.
Absolutely, like, man.
That was a random quote, but...
Definitely. He caught me out of left field. I did not expect that.
All the more reason for me to do it.
Exactly.
First, it was last week that rubber baby buggy bumpers or whatever from Last Action Hero.
Oh, yeah.
Always going to hear a quote from Tyler. But, well, Brian, any recent news, anything going on, any new items that you've seen coming out or they talking about going to be released?
I've been sick for the last few days, and I was up late one night, and I'm looking around, and then they released He-Man and Skeletor Mega Blocks.
Yeah, where the heck? I mean, that was at Walmart they popped up or something?
Yeah, Walmart.
And what were they? Were they like $14.99 each or something?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, something like that. I was only able to get He-Man on the Walmart.com. They didn't have the Skeletor on yet, but...
Oh, yeah, you ordered the He-Man?
Yeah, I bought it, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I ran to Walmart to try to find it. I didn't even think about going online. I forgot that, you know, that's the day and age. You should just go online, but I'm used to the hunt, so I just ran to the stores. And, of course, I didn't find them, so I don't have nothing.
Yeah, but there's like one Walmart here, and the toy section is like an aisle, so it's not even worth going to.
What about you, Tyler? So, do you guys have Walmart online where you're at?
I haven't been in Walmart in a while. All the toy aisles at the Walmarts, and I got a couple of mine, they all just suck. I mean, it's pitiful. It's like they don't care about action figures. They haven't cared about action figures in a long time, and, you know, I certainly would not expect He-Man to be in any Walmart anytime soon, so that's completely news to me.
Yeah, so.
It's just like walking down.
They're pretty cool, man. I was, like, really surprised to see them because I didn't even hear anything about these things coming out.
Yeah, somebody put a picture up. I thought it was at first a custom, and then somebody said,
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing, and then the guy said he went to Walmart and got it. And that's just when I went to Walmart.com, and they had the He-Man.
Okay, well, that's just, I guess, to let fans out there know if, you know, they're looking for some kind of merchandise at the stores like the old days, or if they want to try on sites, that there's something out there. And that who put those out again? You said Mega Block, or who puts those out again?
I thought it was Mega Blocks, but it says, like, Kubros? K-U-B-R-O-S?
Kubros,
I thought it was Mega Blocks.
Okay.
It is Mega Blocks makes it, though, yeah. Kubros by Mega Blocks.
All right, I think Super 7, did they announce Slime Vert? Oh, God bless you twice or whatever. You'll be cool. No, but like, you know, those little muscle figures or whatever, the Motu muscle.
Yeah, the trash pack.
Yeah, they're doing trash can ones. And isn't it going to be in a slime can like the old days, but Skeletor's being slimed and they're all like see-through green or something?
I remember seeing something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and is that going to be a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive or what? I couldn't remember.
I don't know. I think it's going to be – I think you can buy them on their website.
Them?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of the recent things that I just seen them talking about. That and then I think an Orko mug or something. Somebody
– I saw that too, yeah. Yeah,
so that looked kind of cool. That's, I thought it would be
– like 80s. There's that 80stees.com or whatever.
80stees.com, yeah. And you pop off the head, and then, of course, then you can have your hot cocoa. But his hand makes, like, the handle of the mug. So that's kind of cool for, I guess, some recent stuff then, huh?
How long is this? I don't know if this is, like, old news or not. I've only seen it twice, and the second time kind of confirmed it. But How long has it been out that Night Stalker got delayed till September?
Brian might know that because I just seen it last week. But Brian, yeah, how
Yeah,
long has it?
that's pushed back. Snake Mountain's canceled.
Now wait a second. Is that definitely confirmed, or is this just kind of
Yeah,
like a
no, it's
slight? Yeah,
confirmed.
Maddie
Yeah,
Collector confirmed that. It was
it's a
okay
done
because I
deal.
wasn't sure. I didn't know who commented if that was like Maddie Collector or a different division of Mattel that maybe didn't know about the
Nah,
Maddie
it's
Collector.
done. It's done. They
Oh, that's unfortunate.
No, because the damn thing is huge and expensive. So, be honest with you, I mean, I would love to have it, but I don't know. It's kind
Was
of
it going to be pretty much like a lot more pricey than Castle Grayskull or what?
it's huge, bro. It's gigantic. When I saw it at San Diego Comic-Con last year, it's huge.
Was that
I
going
mean,
to be the
I
actual scale, or were they going to scale it
they
back?
were
They weren't sure yet.
gonna bring it down a little bit, but not by much, they said. But I mean, even still, it was gonna be gigantic.
That's sad. I mean, I'd hope that hopefully, I mean, I didn't know that was definitely confirmed. I mean, it's a shame if it was, but I mean, if possibly it is, then hopefully we could just all use our voices and try to be heard to let Mattel know how much we really want that, hopefully.
Yeah.
And I guess anything's possible. They could still do it, you
Well,
know?
yeah, sure. I don't see why not, but for some reason, I guess it got canceled. I don't know what the reasoning is, but I guess the voices that weren't supposed to be heard were probably heard more, or who knows what's going on, you know? Over there at Mattel. I don't know.
Well, we got.
I wish we would have got it still, though, but you know, who knows?
Well, still, what, a couple months away till San Diego Comic Con? I mean, like I said, I guess, you know, I always try to be optimistic. I mean, you know, maybe we'll hear something positive,
Yeah.
hopefully.
And I saw a picture today too about She-Ra, like a whole bunch of different angles, but not
Is that going to
actually
be a
like.
Barbie or something, or what? Because that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like look, kind of looks like it's gonna be like a doll, like a Barbie doll type of person, or not like an action figure, I don't think so.
If it's
But
a Barbie, and I know a lot of fans were always wanting and saying that, you know, they'd like to see a crossover with
oh
Barbie
yeah.
and She-Ra. I mean, that'd be cool, and especially if that's something that maybe could be at actual retail for people to pick up and they don't have to fight for online. That could be
Oh,
cool.
well, Mattel owns both rights, so I mean, you know, it could definitely happen.
So do you think there's any hopes that there could be a He-Man doll in the line of like looking like Ken?
Don't give him any ideas, Joe.
Hey, no, wait, I'm just saying, you know, people like, I mean, it's just collectibles. I'm thinking, hey, if they do one,
I don't want to
they
see a
could.
sissy version of He-Man down the aisle with Zol in pink.
I mean, nice. Well, yeah, he'd be kind of skinny and stuff and have that really corny smile on his face.
No, you're just looking at his underwear.
That's
His
pretty.
tighty
He-Man with
whities.
multiple changed outfits that are not like Thunder Punch and Flying Fists outfits. No, it's like different Prince Adam attire or something like that.
You can go to
No,
the
no, no,
nice.
thank you.
You get like
I'm
Pimp
not
Style
speaking for the
Adam.
majority. I'm just giving my opinion on it.
No, I know. Like I said, I was just throwing out a crazy anything possibility. But no, for the pop fans, that is cool for She-Ra because I mean they definitely go hand in hand. I even thought, wasn't there some kind of a version of Barbie called the Princess of Power or something they released recently to where they used kind of the moniker of that name? Of course, it wasn't She-Ra, but didn't they do something like that? And a lot of people were saying, hey, they stole She-Ra's moniker.
Really? I didn't hear about that.
That sounds
I
made
thought.
up, Joe.
Yeah, there goes Joe just making up stuff like I do on the covers of mini comics, so.
Yeah, we come full circle here, don't we?
It's 29 guys on top of Castle Grayskull.
Well, hey, people seen it, they confirmed it. They seen the two people. But, well, I guess there's a character that, well, let's get into some discussion. There's a character that a lot of people always have kind of had a question of, is he good? Is he bad? We've heard it for a couple people, but let's talk about Zodak from all his different forms, from the toys to the cartoons to his very few appearances in books, mini comics, whatever. Tyler, do you want to start off? Kind of your thoughts on the different versions of Zodak's? Come you know, some of the things you think about him?
I love the character, and I think it's disheartening to know how little he appeared in everything. But essentially, you know, He fell victim to as being one of those characters who consistently Mattel didn't know what to do with him. You know, he's advertised on the re-release card back as almost like a villain, you know, kind of firing at He-Man and Man-at-Arms, but depicted in Golden Books as a neutral character that, you know, tries to balance good and evil and assists He-Man, same thing in Power Point and Dread Record Book and the Filmation cartoon, he's you know, definitely a cosmic enforcer and a tester of He-Man's responsibility as He-Man, and lives up to
Very
kind
well
of
said.
what, yeah, he lit, the Filmation definitely depicted him as what we come to know as someone who watches over Eternia and observes, and more than likely observes the entire galaxy for that matter, but probably, you know, definitely focuses more on Eternia because of all the conflict that goes on the planet, and you know, then definitely is changed greatly in the 2000X cartoon for better or worse, depending on what you think of the character. But really, I think he's a mysterious character in general because he just you they could not make up their mind what they're doing with him. Whereas like Stratos could have been a bad guy and was ultimately a good guy, and I know Mark Taylor has said that certain characters were supposed to be good guys who turned out to be bad guys, and vice versa. Whereas Zodak, it's
Right,
just like
right.
everybody threw their hands up, and eventually he would just disappear from the mythology after the first year or so.
Unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Brian, your kind of thoughts on him before we start rambling more about him.
Well, I think he was a cool character. I like the neutrality of him. The Cosmic Enforcer is an awesome type of character figure. I wasn't a fan of the race change in the MYP. I don't like that when they do that with like Nick Fury and stuff like that. I think just leave everything alone. But I you know, he's definitely an underused character, but I mean his he I think he's I, he's like you feel him more than he's there, you know? Like, I don't know how to quite explain him.
You know,
Like,
it's weird. Yeah, because, like, for me with the toy, I mean, I'll be honest, I never played with Zodak that much because I just wasn't quite sure what to even do with him because there was never a mini comic. I mean, you know, like Tyler said, sure, you know, with Point Dread, you know, it came the record book where, yeah, you finally got to see him, but a lot of kids didn't have Point Dread, maybe never seen that book. They didn't have the 3-part DC comic to where he was in
Right.
that too. So you were left with the character that you're kind of confused about. And of course, I did have all the comics and all the things, but I still never felt that character. It's like, okay, this guy's got clawed feet like Skeletor and some of the bad
Right.
guys. And they make it seem like he's a bad guy, but then he's supposed to be a neutral guy. And then here came, you know, the Filmation cartoon and no more webbed feet. And, you know, he's got a slightly different look. Because, you know, he was like, if you will, he was kind of really pale as a toy and in the
Well, I
comics.
think he was supposed to be an evil warrior in the beginning, and then, you know, they kind of changed it up. I think he was supposed to be bad.
Yeah, because didn't even his moniker change? I couldn't remember if he was referred to as evil and then it was just Cosmic Enforcer or something. I think Mark
He
Taylor
was.
even envisioned the guy as someone who's a flying character, so to speak. I don't know if like Stratos, but I know like in a recent interview he kind of drew inspiration of him from like Flash Gordon and the Flying Vikings somehow. So I
Wow.
wasn't quite sure if he was thinking along the lines of either, you know, a character that flies similar to Stratos, someone who's in the air all the time and flying different vehicles, or flying around in the chair that, you know, sits in Castle Grayskull, for example, or something like that. But that's kind of which is definitely completely different than what we essentially got, but
Right.
it's just
I
kind of
wish we'd
him.
get his damn chair. That would've been cool.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. And but that's what makes the character so much fun, is that he's left up for us to kind of decide what we like best about him. I mean, there may be even people out there right now who even like the idea of making him an evil warrior, someone who is like a cosmic spy for Skeletor or something like that, you know, Didn't they
just.
even, I think, in the Ladybird books? I mean, it wasn't many of them. I think that he worked for Skeletor in one of the Ladybird books.
I've seen images of him working alongside Skeletor, and it's one of those fun things where things were just so undecided about who's good and who's not, and
Right.
just that, but that's part of the fun of He-Man, you know. That's it. It's fascinating to know where they were trying to go and where they ended up at. It's just
Well,
funny.
actually, like even Grayskull was supposed to be Skeletor's
I
in the
used to wonder
beginning.
about that as a kid. Like, how come Grayskull isn't Skeletor's hideout with the big skull on there as a
Yeah,
kid?
I
But,
mean, it was the Masters of the Universe was supposed to be the bad guys, or it was just like everything gets like flip-flopped as it
yes.
progressed.
Yeah, like you said, the way things work around, and you ask for like Zodak. I mean, I always did like that, the neutral version of him, and especially like when he first, appeared in the Filmation cartoon. It's like you looked at him like at a different level because, I mean, he is the cosmic enforcer, he watches over everything, but he
Right.
felt godlike to me or something. There was a different way I finally felt that character's presence in Filmation because, like we said, throughout
Well,
the
I agree with you because like even in what was he in two, three episodes?
just two, I
Like
think.
he two episodes, right? Yeah. He'd be like right alongside the sorceress, so that kind of gave you a sense of like his not stamina, his
Stature.
stature, right, thank you. Like where he stands in the chain of command, so to speak.
And you felt like at least when you did see him in Filmation, you even though he was still supposed to kind of, if in a way, be neutral, if you will, he felt like more of a good guy. I mean, obviously he's right there with the sorceress. He's in Grayskull. It's like, okay,
Right,
this got
right.
to be a good guy compared to the DC three part and the other things. It's like, even still, you could still think good, but it's like he was just supposed to be the keeping the balance of good and evil. It was a strange, but then you'd see random pictures and coloring books and other things where he's somebody that's always being attacked by the good guys. And even some of the
Right.
later poster art, even when Filmation Sorceress was introduced, like I said, that one big puzzle art from R.L. Allen, you see, he's getting blasted on or at from Many Faces on top of Grayskull. And that has, mixes of the old stuff and the Filmation stuff. It was just like the people
Right.
drawing, I guess they weren't even quite sure what was going on even after the cartoon.
Yeah. Well, I think Rudy Obrero said that he didn't know who was good or bad when he was drawing stuff. Like they
Because
were just,
was he in the Castle Grayskull box art?
yeah, yeah,
I can't
and
remember what he was doing. What was he doing?
He's holding a like a laser rifle.
Is he aiming at anybody in particular? I'm
No, he's
curious.
kind of holding it up like he's getting ready to fire.
Oh, so you don't know who he's going to shoot at then, huh?
Well, essentially, I'm gonna look and grab the box real quick because I think he's alongside
Whoa.
the group of He-Man and everybody attacking Grayskull.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. You
Yeah,
got
he's in the
Zodak,
background.
Tila,
Because Beastman's
Stratos.
even there with him too.
Yeah, baby Beastman. Yeah.
So he's wait,
There's
he's ne it's been so long since I looked at that box art. So he's next to Beastman, but he's just aiming
Yeah,
nowhere in particular.
it's
He's back
He-Man,
behind
Man at
Beastman. He's the
Arms.
last one to arrive at the battle.
Yeah,
Oh,
he's in the back.
okay. So
Yeah,
it's
you
still
got
up in the air.
Stratos, Hutch. But yeah, but they're all going up against Skeletor in the doorway.
Okay. It's the that's the other thing about, when you were talking about how he's black then in NYP. Well, here's the thing with me. Like I said, we start off with a toy and him in the, the three-part DC books, and he always had kind of, at least it looks like, kind of a paler type of skin. Then came Filmation, and he was dark to where, in some ways, depending on how he was drawn, as dark as He-Man, a little darker. For me, because I never really seen many Italian characters, in anything when I was growing up, I kind of almost wanted to say he was Italian because he had that dark olive skin. So I kind of, that was just me. I made him Italian in my history for Filmation back then. So when I seen him in
Dove
NYPD,
desperately trying to be represented as a child.
I was like, damn it. I was like, give me something. No, really, I did. You want to identify sometimes when you're not seeing anybody of your culture. So when he came into NYP and he was black, I didn't have an issue. The other reason was
Guys
I
got Mario.
wanted to. Well, yeah, man. Well, yeah, I had Mario. That was a great stereotype of a video game. But that's another story. But when you look at NYP, I mean, first, his name's spelled different. He's not a cosmic enforcer. He's more of a mystic enforcer or guardian, and he's more hands-on in battle. I just felt like it was an entirely new Zodak, like another Zodak. Like there still could have been the other Zodak I
But
knew could have shown up,
yeah.
hypothetically, if they
Well,
did more
that's
seeding.
how I did. I thought of it because again, I'm not one for race changes. I don't like that. I think it's uncalled for.
You know what? I think the reason it, like I said, even if, you know, like I said, it was, he did get changed to black from white and in my head, Italian. I guess the reason it never bugged me is the character was so everywhere already. He never really was, in my opinion, established as anything. We didn't know, was he good? Was he evil? Was he neutral? Clawed feet? No clawed feet? I mean, he was everywhere. So just to have a different interpretation, I was like, well, hey, that's great. I mean, it didn't they even envision him before he was black? Wasn't he going to be an alien
Alien.
in NY?
An alien, yeah.
Now, see, that's what's weird. I mean, now I think that if he was an alien, that would have been another completely different thing that
Oh,
it would
yeah.
just be cool to see. I'd
Oh,
like
yeah.
seeing, you know, some type of, you know, a diversity to where it's, especially for characters that really just, like we said, haven't been established strongly. And Zodak was one. That's why we're just, you know, discussing now. He was just absolutely everywhere as to, like, what is this guy? Who is he? What does he represent?
Truth, justice, and the American, way, I guess. I don't
Yeah. No,
know.
now that's the thing. You know, talking about the differences of the two types of Zodiacs, I guess that were then mainly strongly that we know. We, you know, knowing the cosmic enforcer one that they really tried to give us of, you know, being neutral. If you wanted to finally get an established Zodiac, that one. And then the more hands-on one in NYP, what do you prefer? Did you prefer the neutral guy, the keeping the balance, or did you like seeing Zodak finally being hands-on, attacking and doing battle?
I like the fighting.
Oh, so you like the NYP version of Zodak with the fighting more, huh?
I mean, listen, I like the barbaric weaponry, fighting. That's what always drew me into He-Man, because I just love the fighting. So I think that version of him was better, because he was more hands-on. But he was also a little deranged, because he had the whole "I gotta get ki 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 I gotta kill King Hiss because he killed
Because of
my
his brother.
brother." Yeah, so I don't know,
All right. Tyler, what about you? Did you get into the fighting version of Zodak or just the balance keeper?
And for when I first saw it, I really enjoyed the update. I love the glowing tattoos when he goes gets ready to go into attack mode. I just like the inter I was a bit at first. I wasn't quite ready to sit there and say, okay, they're clearly not going with the Cosmic Enforcer thing, because when they're seeing him kind of alongside the elders, like in the kind of backstory of vanquishing the Snake Man, I'm like, there's nothing here that doesn't say that he's not, you know, the Cosmic Enforcer, that he kind of sits in solitude in like a temple up in, you know, the I guess you'd call the
Mystic Mountains.
Mystic Mountain, so to speak. But I thought it was good until we see him again. And you know what, we'll get into this, you know, later on too, but it's he definitely John Cena'd up the Snake Men aspect. I just and we'll get into that later on too, but I liked it, but also really the person the making him a personality of revenge and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't know, it feels a little forced here. It kind of feels like we're gonna say someone who is so mystic and epic is more susceptible to unleashing something that's as dangerous as the Snake Men just to get revenge. I'm like, well, if you wanted to kill
Yeah.
him that bad, why didn't you do it to begin with, you know?
Right. I
And
agree with you
then throw
100%.
the rest of the Snake Men in the void. But this is just me. This is stepping back once the show was over and everything. Like, as watching, I thought this was a fantastic upgrade to the character. I just I really my brother, who I mentioned before, was not a He-Man fan prior to this cartoon. He really liked the character of Zoda. He liked the how he was. It was just cool too. And this is another aspect I can touch on later on too. But it was cool to see Zodak interacting with Cobra Khan and Rat-Lor and He-Man and so on and so forth. You know, it was. I liked it, but let
Was
me say.
he Italian enough for you?
Got it.
That's my soul, man. He was missing the twirly mustache, and he didn't have a knack for cooking for some reason. Maybe he made a fantastic stew. You know, I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
But I thought that, you know, changing his ethnicity was perfectly fine. I had no problem with that at all.
Right.
Because it really just didn't feel like it was. It's not like we're making Fisto, you know, an Asian character, you know, or something like that, where it just seems like it's as. You know, because Fisto, I mean, this is just an example here, you know, because it just didn't feel like changing Zodak's skin color and changing, you know, from to an African-American wasn't feel like it was a pandering issue that we must have a character in here that's, you know, black, because I just felt like, you know, there have been many memorable black characters, and unfortunately, MYP didn't get around to Clamp Champ. We didn't get to see Malakta. We didn't get to see a black version of Garn that was featured in Filmation. Not that they probably would go that way. We got to see one black, you know, Royal Guard, you know, with like a really deep, you know, kind of voice that just didn't seem to fit. Oddly enough, it was in the same episode as Zodak's first appearance here. But
no kidding. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. He's like, hey, G5. I'm like, that doesn't sound like a black man talking.
And who was it? Who was the voice? Was it Christopher Judge or what was his name? The guy who did Zodak?
I have no idea. I you know, and it just
Well, the reason I say it is I believe it was the same guy that did the voice of. I mean, that was Teal'c in Stargate. Do you guys remember the TV series Stargate?
Oh, that guy. The guy was kind of like an alien kind of character.
Yeah, Teal'c. That's why I loved it. Okay. And that's what's crazy is I remember the first time when he appeared, and my dad was watching that with me. He's like, "Wait a second, isn't that Teal'c?" And I was like, "What are you talking?" And I was like, "Wait a second. That is Teal'c's voice." And I see the voice, like, wait a second, that is. And I could be wrong. I think his name is Christopher Judge. I might be wrong. If I'm wrong, I apologize to everybody out there. I don't mean to.
I don't know. I know
the Stargate fans are like ready to break their monitor right now. Yeah, there we go. A monitor's done it again.
Well, either way, it was Teal'c, the guy who did Teal'c in Stargate. That's why it was even cooler for me when I heard that voice. I was like, oh my God, Teal'c, because I love Stargate. I watch that thing to death. And plus, you remember we had a Stargate in an episode of Filmation, too. I can't remember the one. I know Tyler would, because he's got a
problem with power.
See, there you go. I know he's got a photographic memory. It's the same type of thing, too. But there you go. So now we know where the TV show came from, or the movie came from. First movie, then TV show came from Filmation. But
yeah, Stargate stole from Problem with Power. Roland Emmerich didn't have a career if it wasn't for Tom Tatter and Owitz.
Actually,
you can kind of blame him for Independence Day coming this summer. Like, we really needed that. So it really comes back with Problem with Power.
Oh, boy. Even there we go.
Had given out the power, you know, we wouldn't have to be dealing with, you know, at least Will Smith's not in it. Not that I'm going to go see it anyway, but I suddenly realize I've gone too far here.
I was going to say we're on another just random rant of just insaneness. But no, so Zodak, really yeah, like. Good. Yeah, so we see he's, like I said, he's had a lot of different versions. I mean, in fact, I think that wasn't he, according to, I don't know if it was to the Filmation Bible too, but they also mentioned it in some of the storybooks, because remember, a lot of the things that we didn't get to see in the Filmation cartoon that were mentioned in the Filmation Bible, they made it into a lot of storybooks when we were kids. And I thought in one of them, you know, we got to see about the hall, we seen the actual Hall of Wisdom in one of the storybooks, and I think they even talked about Zodak might have been the lead. Was he the leader of the Council of Elders or something, and maybe one of the last ones, or I don't know. I thought he had a different role that they
identified. He was in it, but I don't know if he was, like, I know he was a part of it, but I don't know what his role was.
I wish
was.
I could remember in depth, because I know all the people who, like, you know, studying the history of Masters, if they know that little tidbit, they're probably, like, you know, cursing my name out right now. But it's something a lot.
I heard he was a pissed off astronaut who joined the space program along with Biff, Beastman, and Evelyn Powers, and he was determined to get on there because, like, we don't take Italians into space here. So he was like, you know, damn it, I'm going to get on this spaceship. And I'm gonna make my name in the universe.
That's it. He's getting out there. Well, that was my favorite version. I guess I really did like the Filmation one because I tried to make him connect with me. That's why I had a little bit of a connection to the. I did. I had to. I tried to. It's weird how things you have from your childhood, you could.
Right.
It brings a memory. So I remember trying to make him connect with me. I tried to make him Italian, but I did
no
like his
kind of him Italian.
It's like, they forget about it. He's like, hey, man, I'm going to take the power. You know what I'm saying? But no, but I did. I liked him in Filmation. He had, like, kind of, like I said, a godlike feeling. It was different when he appeared. It was like, oh, my God, here's Zodak. Even though, like you said, he never really did nothing. But it was cool to see him. So that was my favorite version, was Filmation. Yeah, and what about you, cool. Brian? What was your favorite one?
I don't know. I'd have to say, I don't know, I like the DC version. I mean, the three-parter, and then he they had the three-part, and then they had the other like intro.
Yeah, was that in what
Had
did
like
he
this.
in I can't remember
What happened?
I was trying to remember where else did he appear? I mean, you're right, though. There was
Yeah,
the three.
it was a three-part, and then there was a separate story that he was in.
Was that in the Superman one? The He-Man versus Superman? Did he appear in that one too, or no?
Nah.
No?
No,
Okay.
he had like his own little short story, like bringing you back to the Masters, like something like that.
Okay. I didn't know if you meant
Yeah.
DC or if you were talking about the record book or which one. I was just
No,
curious.
DC, they did they did like they did the Superman one. That was the first.
Okay.
Then they did another one, like Return to Eternia, I think it was called, or something like that. And
Wasn't
then they
that
did
part of
the
the
three.
three-part series? I'm starting to lose my mind here now. You got me wondering if there
No,
are.
there's the three-parter, the
Right.
Superman, and then there's another one.
There is? Huh.
Yeah.
I don't
It's like a
remember it.
short
Tyler, what
story.
about you? You remember that one? Because I'm starting to, my
There
mind is.
is a aside from the three-part miniseries, there is a small. I haven't seen it in person, but I mean, you can just Google it or look it up. But there is
Yeah.
another He-Man like comic book, a small one that just
Yeah.
depicts all the essential like original characters all on the same cover. It's like in front of Castle Grayskull, and I don't I just I see it in
Was
my
that the
head.
preview comic that was
I
like
think
in?
yeah, I think it's the preview
Oh,
comic. Yeah.
okay, that's where. Okay, all right. For some reason, I thought the
No,
preview comic.
he they it was it was like it came in a comic. It was I don't know, I can't it was like a story in a comic, like like 1 month in the 80s.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was a preview of Masters in a different comic book. Yeah, because I thought DC did that. I think the month was November, if I'm not mistaken, and I think almost every DC book, almost, that came out had that preview, from Supergirl to everything, because I got Supergirl issue one. But I still thought that was, for some reason, you know what's weird? I haven't read in so long. I thought it was just a recap of things that we
No,
were going to see in
different.
other stuff.
No, it's
Gotcha. You
completely
got me wanting
different.
to go back and read it. It's been so long. I thought it was just stuff that we already had in the other three in Superman one. I didn't know that.
No, they made five comics, DC, with
God, now I gotta go
Masters.
back. Now I feel like a moron that I didn't know that. So there you
Wah,
go.
wah, wah, wah.
Shut it. So all right. Okay, and then Tyler, before we cut to a break, and then you kept, like alluding to, we'll talk about something later. Fans will see why. But what about your Zodak? Who was your favorite?
Probably got to go with the one that shows up in the Sword of Skeletor, the Golden Book, where it's essentially kind of what he does in the Search episode, where he shows up, not I mean, where in that episode where he deliberately shows or gives Skeletor information on how to find the Starseed, and then lets He-Man know what's going on here just to test his will. But in the Sword of Skeletor, which I always see is like the third part of a like a trilogy of books, because it's on that Golden Books video with like the limited animation. That was my first interpretation of actually seeing the character
Oh,
in
no
action,
kidding.
was that in the Golden Book video, because I watched that video constantly a lot, and along with reading the books. But he just shows up, and tells He-Man, look, it's essentially the balance is uneven. Skeletor's broken into Castle Grayskull. I'm just gonna hurry up and get you in there right now. And as a kid, I thought he was a villain, because he was like zapping He-Man, even though he's sending him right into Grayskull. I took him like firing a blast from his hand and throwing him into Grayskull. I was like, I can't tell if this guy's a good guy or not. So I guess,
See, doesn't that suck? That's what I mean. That's why I wish that there was a mini comic that featured him, like the one that came with, the Talon Fighters and Point Dread set. I wish that record book, it would have been so cool if they could have shrunk that into mini comic form and just included that with his figure or something,
Yeah,
because
that would have been cool.
yeah, I
That
still think
would have
it'd even
been
be
like
cool
a,
now.
yeah, it would have been a cool, even though he's barely featured in it, but it's that is one of my favorite images from a lot of the storybooks as He-Man climbing those mountains as Zodak meets him up there, and way high up in the clouds you see the Talon Fighter. I'm like, that is, it makes me think of Fairy Tale Theater's Jack and the Beanstalk, like climbing way up into the clouds, and like there's this whole big, you know, oh my gosh, like way out, just going for higher and higher and up is the Talon Fighter. Like it's so far away that, you know, the cosmic enforcer's got to lead you to get there. Like it's just, it's only like a couple of panels, but I'm picturing my little 5-year-old self, like, oh my gosh, and this is like, oh, the clouds, and this is awesome, and Zodak, he's helping out He-Man, and you know, so it's, I forgot where I'm going with this right
And
now.
where the hell was I? Just like Leslie Nielsen, Naked Gun.
And if he didn't, who did? And where the hell was I?
You know. But, you know, I guess, like I said, this is me always wanting things, but if they could even still to this day do it, would you think, and would you buy, you know, like a little mini comic if they, you know, took the story, I mean, the record book and turned to a mini comic? Is that something you guys would want? I mean, I just know that I eat mini comics up, and I think it would just be cool to have into
It's again, that's something that Dark Horse might be able to do, is get all that stuff and make a book out of it. You
Absolutely
know?
not. I think it's a stupid idea.
Shut
I think
it.
it's an Italian idea.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right. I'm never going to hear it. I'm going to see. There's somebody else out there. Somebody's got to back me up. You tell me if you thought he was Italian, too. If you're Italian.
Now you got Seth Allen. What are you complaining about?
Yeah, there you go.
See, I
That's right.
figured he was Italian because he was very untrustworthy.
Oh, hey, now that's our producer, Dirt. He said that. Now,
Are we talking about
I'm
Chef Allen
cool.
at the moment or Zodak? Like Zodak's like an Italian mob leader out from outer space, you know?
Yeah, I'll
He
let it
just
go.
puts his head on whoever he wants.
You guys might have just angered somebody by accident. That's it. So, well, before we
Wake
have a
up with a horse head in your bed.
Exactly.
Yeah,
So,
it'll get Stridor's head in your bed.
yeah, there you go.
Stridor's
This Fista wakes up and he's gonna see all these like oil grease all over himself and no.
So stupid. That's pretty good.
Someone draw that up. Anyone listening to someone
I like
like an
that.
homage to Godfather with Fisto and Stridor.
That'd be funny. That'd be
There you go.
funny.
It'd be
Oil
awesome.
from. I like that. All right, well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. When we come back from a break, we'll get into a discussion Tyler was kind of hinting at earlier.
You're listening to a podcast from popculturenetwork.com.
Okay, guys, we're back from break. And now, Tyler earlier was talking about, he kept alluding to something like we were going to get into, and it seemed like he was always hinting at something. Well, it's finally going to talk about the MYP cartoon. You know, everything from the whole series, not just, like I said, just one random character. We'll just ramble about a lot of it, but our thoughts of the whole cartoon, first seeing it, characters in it, stories, and even what we wish we could have seen. And I know Brian gets kind of passionate about things, so I'm going to let Brian start off with his MYP stuff.
Well, I absolutely loved MYP. I wish it would still be on today. It was they just took everything that we knew and made it awesome in my eyes. All the little nods and things that were we knew that they brought back and made it more powerful, or you know, like when Skeletor is looking for like the Diamond Ray disappearance, you know, like just stupid little things like that. It was just great. Just like great little nods to the past. And it was cool to see like Ice Armor He-Man in one of the episodes. I know that Kyla loved you know, Fisto becoming Fisto.
What? What
With
happened?
his gigantic hand.
I was gonna say, what are you alluding to here?
That Zodak clearly wasn't Italian.
Okay. There we go. I mean, we're gonna live that down. Somebody else will hear.
but no, I mean, all in all, it was great. I mean, it was just great. I mean, it was just such an improvement of what we knew, and I really wish it didn't get canceled. I wish it still went on.
Yeah, that
I
would've been
mean,
great if it did continue. There was so much more that could have happened.
oh yeah, I mean, it got silly with the Snake Men. I mean, how many times could they have captured them and then recaptured them? And I mean, that was kind of silly towards the end though. But If it would have went on one more season with the Horde, would have been great. I mean, the Horde armor, He-Man, would have, that was just so cool looking. I wish we would have got that.
Yeah, there's a lot we didn't get. And even, like I said, during the show, there was a lot of things I think still could have been different. Fantastic cartoon, but Tyler, ramble a little bit, then we'll all just ramble together.
I'm trying to figure out, because I want to be a little cohesive here, because yeah, if we I'm sure we'll probably do like pros and cons of the show. Is that what the plan is after we kind of get our initial
kind of pros and cons and just thoughts on any random thing about it? Sure.
Okay. It definitely meant a great deal to me, and I still to this day love watching the epic Toonami promo with the dramatic music playing during it. It still was one of the best advertisements for something He-Man related, because it was cool to see, you know, all this action going on with Peter Cullen doing the voiceover for the promo. So it just gives you chills if you're like play it real loud on your computer or something like that. It just makes you want to fall over in your chair and your nipples get all hard and stuff. It's definitely one of the best advertising pieces of advertising for that show.
So, can you find that still on YouTube?
If you just look up a He-Man Toonami promo,
okay,
and it's a minute long, and you'll hear Peter Cullen doing the voiceover, you know, the land of Eternia is a paradise, you know, kind of thing.
Okay.
But overall, it's a very mixed reaction for me. Watching it each week, I was living up to the idea of like, who's going to be this week's episode. I mean, it was great to look forward to it each week. Me and my brother would sit down and watch it a lot, and I only missed one episode because I taped every episode. I was like, I was gonna, like, since I'm old enough now, I'm gonna buy every single toy, men on cart and loose. I'm gonna tape every single episode here. I mean, every piece of merchandise I can. So it was all about, I got to get as much as I can since I missed out on so much of the 80s and just spent all my childhood tracking down anything I could of the 80s. I was like, I'm not going to make the mistake again, regardless of when I was born.
You had ozone money at the time, okay.
Money. Yeah, graduation money. So I just spent all my $1,000 I got for graduating high school on He-Man stuff, whether it was too much or not. But
it's worth it.
I remember missing the episode, I think it was called What Lies Beneath. I think it's what it was, but reading the synopsis about it, because that you'd always get the synopsis of what each episode was about before it came out, and I'm like, oh, this is about Teela and handing it who her mom is. Well, I don't need to see this episode, and that was the only one I missed. And I remember I told my brother to tape it. He did, and he goes, yeah, you didn't miss anything. I'm like, I know it.
Is that where she needed that blood transfusion, or is that
some sort of stupid stuff like that? It's like, no, you really understand. At least with this, they tie in that, you know. Teela's mom is essentially a bitch. You know, she's just constantly is like, that's where Teela gets her attitude from, you know, from her like pissing mom. You know, she just walking around moping her silly Egyptian outfit and just constantly busting balls and this and that. And it's like, lady, you know, I think you just need to, you know, get laid or something like that. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, you got pretty Egyptian. Descriptive in this right here. Good gracious.
Well, it's just, you know, I hate it because the sorceress was portrayed so well in Filmation and the live action movie, regardless of how little she was in it. She was a very motherly character. This one is just, she's just constantly like, she got something, you know, condescending to say.
I agree. I think that was the biggest change that I didn't like in the cartoon. I didn't like the Egyptian look. I just didn't buy it. I didn't get it. I didn't understand the change. I don't know why they made such a huge, like, completely different when I don't know, like, everything about it kind of
like it's a Stargate, you know, since Joe's talking about all the Stargate connections there. So, but I mean, that's just a small thing. I mean, what was one of the biggest things about this, and I can elaborate more on the pros, was that this cartoon gave us an opportunity to see characters that we really didn't either get to see at all, period, like Stinkor, or characters that were clearly poorly used in season two, like Cyclone, Too Bad, and Mossman, and you know, they just were not, they were given kind of silly treatment, or at least not, didn't live up to the potential that when you saw the action figures and the commercials and had them in person, they're like, this is not what I had in mind when you see them in the cartoon. So and Count Marzo, another great upgrade, you know, the cartoon gave us a lot of good upgrades of characters that, you know, definitely benefited from, like, okay, we're going to tweak things a bit. We're going to make them a lot more beefier or a lot more grungier or just, you know, I didn't mind changing a few things, you know, like kind of like hinting that Cyclone kind of comes from like an Asian descent almost, just kind of based on like the samurai motif of Gar. But that is not a connection to Skeletor being like a Gar, and all the blue skinned people are all related. Like, what a bunch of hogwash, man. I hate that idea so much. Like, people are just like, all the blue skinned people are connected, and all the like Clam Champ Decker related because they're black. I'm like, boy, this is lazy writing at its finest, isn't it, people? But anyway.
I mean, when they first announced it, of course, I went bananas. The thought of finally He-Man's back on TV.
Tell me about it, man. When I first heard about it, man, I was stoked.
That was early summer.
I remember sitting down. I had my popcorn, my Doritos. Oh my God. It was like heaven all over again.
It was cool.
And it lived up to it. That first like battle scene was amazing.
When Triclops and Mechaneck are seeing who can spin weapons faster.
I was going to get to my
nads were pumped that day.
That's what I was going to get to. See, now, like I said, I remember I recorded at work, came home, watched it. And I mean, I'm into it, but I remember even the first time I seen that, I was like, does everybody in this show have a background in acrobatics and martial arts? I mean, is everybody going to be flipping and spinning weapons? I was like, I could see a couple, but everybody does not have to do this. I mean, like I said, I still love the cartoon, but there were certain characters and certain things that irked me. That first, like I said, fight scenes with some of them was just too over the top. I love the impact of when Whiplash showed up and that screaming, yelling he did, that angry, almost like dinosaur.
Yeah, like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
T-Rex thing. But then he spoke, and I'm like, oh, now why'd you have to do that? You went from this monstrous sucker to, I mean, Clawful sounded ridiculous. I mean, why did you make these two big behemoths sounds like two oafs? I wish that – now, Clawful, if they wanted to keep him talking like that, fine.
He should have been mute.
I think Whiplash is the one that shouldn't have spoken. Just – if you're coming in like a giant T-Rex screaming sucker like that and then you talk like an idiot, I didn't appreciate that. I was like, Whiplash shouldn't have spoke at all. Now, then we go to other characters. Now, of course, we have Battle Cat Cringer who doesn't talk, and I've heard that debate.
Thank God.
Yeah, a lot of people said – yeah, they said I never liked it, the Battle Cat talking or Cringer talking. It was awkward for me because he's a magical creature. I wanted to hear something out of his mouth, but when he's cringing, meow, I'm like, do you have to sound like a pussycat? I mean, you're a tiger, and I know you're scared, but to have that little kitten sound, that irritated me. And for different upgrades, I didn't feel the impact of Battle Cat at all. I hated his armor. I hated how he reared up like he was a horse. I'm like, you're a tiger, you know, a cat. You're a battle cat. You're a cat.
Yeah.
Why are you rearing up?
Basically, I think you hit it on the nail on the head, man. They made him more of a horse than a battle cat. You know, they made him more.
You guys do know what I'm saying, like how he rears up, right? Like, you know, in the filmation, I mean, I guess it's because we're used to it, but that just the mask, his saddle, I mean, he looked more imposing. And when he would do his, you know, like stretch and then that, you know, scream and roar, it's he looked more like a tiger, but obviously that looked kind of imposing. And then here came this thing where he goes, roar, and he stands up on two legs. There's like, ooh, back up, here's this guy. So I hated his redesign. Orko sounded like an annoying Urkel. I could not
say that. Yeah, that was kind of unanimous. Everybody said he sounded like Urkel.
I couldn't take him. I mean, as much as people want to pick on Orko from Filmation, I would take that Orko any day over him. But then there's, like I said, there's other upgrades that I really enjoyed. I love Stratos because finally Stratos is getting into it. I mean, just, you know, more of using
the voice.
Head.
Perfect.
Yeah, he's kind of, you know, that regal Sean Connery kind of,
I love that. The voice fit him perfectly.
And plus, he felt like he was finally doing stuff. You know, he's, you know, catching people from falling from their deaths and doing things. He felt like he was involved.
He did that in Filmation. What are you talking about?
Well, yes, kind of, but it just,
kind of? Betrayal of Stratos. Need I say more?
Oh, here we go on that. So I like the MYP Stratos more just because I felt like he was getting down and he was finally doing some stuff. Stratos is a character later I think we'd have to talk about another episode because he really did confuse me, and I'll say that some other day. But
he wasn't Italian.
Polish?
Oh, no. Shut up. Okay, here's the thing. Okay, we like our side rants. Here's a side rant. What is it with Stratos in his wings? Meaning, for the toy and in the cartoon, his wings are like, you could tell, strapped or attached to his arms. So they're not real right. wings. But all the other right. aliens, or whatever you want to say, they have wings. It's like, why is he the one that doesn't have wings to where they're real wings? They had real wings, didn't they? Or am I wrong?
You want to go first? No, I'll go after you.
I'll be honest. I'm drawing a blank, so you're gonna have to take it, Ty.
Yeah, Tyler, go.
All right. The vintage style and Filmation style, like the character could fly regardless. Like he didn't use his wings. It's almost like the whole, you know, Avion, you know, group of people could fly because of the egg right. of Avion. You know, that's
right.
They
but
just
didn't they in the cartoon the have wings? They yeah. had wings.
Yeah, I mean there was well, no. They just flew. Like I don't yeah, no. He now some of the members of Avion did have wings, I think.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking. It's just yeah. he always confused me because I was like, was it supposed to be that jetpack that we never seen? I was like, why yeah, is he and, like and, a fake bird? I thought of him as like a fake monkey bird. I didn't know what he was.
That's what I liked about the MYP was that he used a jetpack to fly.
And he still had wings attached, and that's what I mean.
Well, I know.
It's like the jetpack used to kind of enhance how fast he could go in the wings.
Well, maybe that was it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, peep this real quick about the MYP version. You're right. He had the jetpack that made him go faster. But when I looked at his wings look even attached again. But then when I'm looking at his other people, they didn't have the jetpack, but their wings look like they were kind of furred into them. And plus, I thought they would flap as they're standing. His weren't flapping. I just felt like, wow. I don't know, he always felt like a fake bird to me. Like he had some, I don't know, I felt like Strato.
Well, I mean, they have bird aspects, but they're more human in quality. You know, that's... and I always felt that's kind of how it was in Filmation, that the rest of the Avion people looked more human than Stratos did.
You know, yeah, but the ones with wings, like I said, were their wings, though. Everybody else had real wings. His weren't. Why did he never have real wings, but they had wings, the ones that did?
Because he's got a rocket pack, that's why.
No, because I thought he, like, there was, like, a story to him that maybe was never told. Like, maybe he lost his wings somehow, and he had to get these fake ones. I don't know. That's, a story I always created about him, because he looked out of place compared to the other ones. Like I said, I might be wrong, because I didn't remember every single episode, but from the ones I did, I thought they had real wings, and his were fake.
No, I mean, there was nothing to sit there and just kind of say that he was slightly different than the others, other than, like, essentially his design. But they all kind of had, like, that same kind of helmet piece where, like, the big black goggles and the helmet on there. And
didn't some of them in Filmation just have, like, clear goggles and you can really see
face some of them, I mean, like, they had facial hair, like a mustache, and the girls had different hair color and stuff like that. It was
different helmets.
Yeah, but it was just kind of like, it was cool because at least it shows Stratos looks very distinguished amongst the rest of the people of Avion, you know, where he's,
right.
he clearly looks like he is, you know, he stands, you know, as the leader because he looks completely different, at least in the way he's designed. Like, I'm sure he'd take the helmet off, he probably looks no more different other than he's got like the kind of the beard underneath his chin there. And he doesn't really look ape-like like they all say that he did. I mean, the vintage figure definitely looked like that, but
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but I remember, like, they did, like, that Envy Creations comic of, like, Stratos, the people of Avion, where he looks like a bird. Like, you take the mask off. I hated that. Like, this is
oh, ridiculous. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was pretty retarded.
Yeah, that was awkward, especially after seeing Filmation cartoon that we've seen. They look just like humans. I mean, maybe seen their face. When I seen it, I was like, oh, good God, this is kind of freaky. I mean, it was cool. It was like a new innovation, but I was like,
No, that wasn't cool. There was nothing inventive about that.
Yeah, no, definitely. That wasn't. No.
Well, that's another twist. I mean, another spinoff of the MYP that we're talking about was the MVC stuff that they did, and they'd had different things once in a while. But yeah, some people maybe felt that bird face. But it's like I said, I was just used to the human.
Yeah, it was freaky, man. That just should not have been.
Yep. So,
and I'll be honest with you, that's probably when Mattel tightened up the rope and was like, okay, you guys got to follow our storyline or nothing.
Yeah, I don't have a clue, but Well, I guess that was that side rant on Stratos. It just had to happen because I always wondered, is he a bird, not a bird? Did anybody else? And if anybody out there knows what I'm babbling about, if you
to me, he's a human with bird qualities.
Just yeah, somebody.
He's not like Buzz Off, or Buzz Off clearly is like a bee. You know,
yeah, right.
He definitely was. And I liked Buzz Off's look now. He was finally, it seemed like, had good roles and wasn't that just talking guy. It was
Disappearing Dragons, yeah. Man. Buzz Off was a badass in that.
Yep. Well, shut up. So anyways,
so quick, like, yep. All right, next.
Yep, shut up. No, but I like the thing was they kind of made him like a cocky character in NYP. Like, you know, he was arrogant. Yeah, he was a hothead. He didn't want to. He was thinking, "Oh, nobody's gonna attack." And
who,
you know,
Buzz Off?
Yeah, Buzz Off. They're like,
"Yeah, He had a short fuse."
He was like the Raphael of the heroic warriors.
Yeah, he was, and Stingrad was a big son of a gun, like his whatever second in command or whoever that guy that was with him. Yeah. They had a lot of different type of Andrenids from their sizes, and some of them that were really big and bulbous, but. Yeah, there was, like I said, so there was different versions of him, I mean, the Andrenids. But Buzz Off, yeah, he was okay. He came around, and he started being part of the Masters after they got attacked. And this is what I want to say. We talk about different parts in the show, and we talk about powers. Evil-Lyn, that's the thing. I loved how Evil-Lyn was. Like I said, she very powerful, using her magic. But the thing was that annoyed me was when she'd have to, like, encounter Teela. Like, you see the guys fighting, and they're doing their spinning and flipping and all that. So it's like, oh, here's Teela. Oh, here's Evil-Lyn for this first episode. We got to have them fight. And then a lot of others, of course. But to me, they were never, like, on the same level. I'm like, Jesus, Evil-Lyn is, like, Skeletor level. When she's fighting, she should be fighting magic users. She should be if Shadow Weaver ever showed up, and there was a battle between the two hot-head women. But I was like, Teela, yay, you got a staff. I mean, what are you talking about?
Teela sucks.
What's that?
Teela sucks.
Well, and see, keep going with that because this is what I mean. You know, I'll clean it up. You know, I won't say the curse word, but, you know, bull crap. You know? Okay, here's the thing. You know the worst word for bull crap? When somebody says, I'm calling bullshit on this.
Bullshit.
How about baloney?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have a new phrase. It's going to be, I'm calling Shadow Beast crap on this.
How about
that's the turning thing. That's what I'm going to start using. I'm calling Shadow Beast crap on this one part. It was in the one that I think it was with what did they get? The Ambrosia. Yeah, it was when they got the Ambrosia.
Sky Wars,
okay. All right, so you got Skeletor, Triclops, and Evil-Lyn all, you know, ate some of that Ambrosia, and they're all super powered up. So Skeletor's fighting with He-Man, and, you know, he's getting kind of like the best of He-Man because he's stronger. And eventually He-Man, you know, makes him fight because the Ambrosia wears off in other people that aren't Andrenids. So he wears off, bam, He-Man, you know, beats Skeletor. Triclops, he's holding up Battle Cat as he's powered up, and then he starts losing his power, and then boom, Battle Cat falls on him. Now here comes the moment that I'm calling Shadow Beast crap on. Evil-Lyn is fighting Teela, and then Evil-Lyn loses her power and then goes, oh no, and runs. I'm like, what are you running for? You have magic. Right. You could blow Teela into smithereens. Why are you running from her because you lost your Ambrosia? Am I the only one that thought that was stupid?
Well, Teela does have a big mouth, and, you know, Evil-Lyn is just like, you know, I'm outmatched here, like in the mouth.
But you remember that, don't you? She started running. I'm like, what you running for?
It just seemed like we're writing this because that's what the villains are supposed to do. You know, it's
stupid part. Oh, that was just new phrase. If you guys ever out there, you get irritated, something you want to call it on, something you call Shadow Beast crap on it. That's the Eternian version. That's what we're going to do when it's stupid. And that thing, that part irritated the crap out of me. And did they ever get that Ambrosia back, or where did the Ambrosia go?
Because Webstor ate it in Web of Evil and got a stomachache.
Okay, but, I mean, did he steal it?
Snake Man ate it too.
Wasn't it taken by Skeletor and the Collector, he said, or something? Remember in the Sky Wars episode, remember he said he load up the Collector, even though we never seen the Collector in that episode. I don't even know, did it show up?
I'm back.
No.
Okay, well, there was a cool nod to mention it, but he's like, load up the Collector with the Ambrosia. Yeah. But we never seen it no more. That's why I meant it just disappeared or it appeared in another episode of
Skeletor. It showed up, but not with, you know, Skeletor. Like I said, Web of Evil, it was appeared in a Rattle of the Snake.
It appeared again too with the snake.
Where did he find it? Where was that? Because I'm trying to remember that episode. Where did he find all that ambrosia?
The snake men?
Yeah, or where did they find it? I mean, was
As far as I know, that they just took it from the bee people, the Andrina. Oh, okay. Yeah, they just say they got it. You know, it's kind of like the same thing with like Web Store. Just I think he that was a less than memorable episode because that's where we see Fisto with his big hand punching rocks. The less I remember about that, the better.
That is what's good about the NYP cartoon that I guess I think I've never heard anybody say.
Fisto's origin was an abomination.
There, I guess that's one. No, it's just, you know, Filmation gets picked on so much. Of some people, you know, do know there was a lot of great episodes. Sure, some stinkers too, but they always want to say it was too kiddie. But I never heard that about NYP. I haven't heard anybody say, "Oh, it was too kiddified." It was always trying to be serious, you know, which it did. But, you know, like you said, still there's some people that prefer Filmation.
Oh, watch the episode Turnabout, and you'll see Kitty.
Okay. So I guess
I don't know, man. I mean, like I said, like the MYP and the new Thundercats, they were both awesome, but they were both awesome because of the previous, you know, cartoons. So you have to like the Filmation first. To really like the MYP in my eyes.
Do you think that MYP kind of spoiled some people? Like, let's say there's some people that were introduced to He-Man from MYP, and then they go back to look at Filmation and think, eh. Do you think that happens a lot, or what do you think?
It's the same as someone who comes along and says, oh, man, The Phantom Menace is great, but Empire Strikes Back sucks. You know, If you're looking if you're an animation aficionado, I can understand why, because you did get to see a whole lot of actual sword fighting and hand to hand combat in Filmation. There are moments, and when they're there, they're memorable. You know, like He-Man, you know, backhanding Triclops and Diamond Ray disappearance. But I can understand that aspect. But if you come along and discover He-Man from 2000X, and you're a kid and you get older, and, oh, I remember that, and then you find out there's an older one, I'm like. I'm very protective of Filmation because the reasons people attack it are because it looks silly and cheap. And I'm like, okay, then clearly you've never watched it. You're just going by the demographic of people who like to
And the thing is too, is that you have to remember the time and place when it was, when it came out, you know, you have to appreciate that because, you know, it's just like, I always say to everybody, like Airplane was, to me, one of the funniest movies ever.
Still is,
right. Because if you watch anything today, something came from there. You know what I mean? Like, so Filmation, they laid the law down. And you have to respect that. I mean, going into it now, it might be harder. But watching it as a kid, you kind of, I don't know, it's just... At the time and place, it just fit. So I see why people might have a problem with it watching it after MYP or whatever, or just watching it out of the blue now. Like, yeah, it's gonna suck because it is too kiddie. It's too
but kid-like. I still feel like there's so much good in Filmation that I feel like there's things that Filmation didn't get right that MYP did, and then there's things that MYP really screwed up that Filmation had, you know, from the beginning. You know, I feel like, you know, the character Prince Adam was portrayed, and this is me as an adult, because really, as an adult, people say that, you know, you outgrow certain things. Like, as an adult, there are episodes that I particularly was not a fan of as a kid. As an adult, have gotten even better with age, like Evil-Lyn's plot and Orko's Missing Magic. To me, as an adult, I think those are absolutely fantastic episodes, but were episodes that I just kind of like could, you know, these are all right as a kid. So I feel like there's still so much more to Filmation that I think people are just so quick to dismiss because the animation was very limited, but the voice acting was superb. The stories are top notch over the majority of MYP, you know, whereas the animation of getting to see Skeletor doing a one-on-two battle in Subternia against King Randor and He-Man, we didn't get to see something like that in Filmation. And it was very bad to see him like split the swords,
getting ready to kill Jim Randor, and then takes on He-Man without question or hesitation, like he's, I'm going to take you on too. And then he runs right in between the two of them and just clang, clang, and I'm getting chills on my face talking about this. Like, it was so awesome.
No, well, I mean, the fighting scenes in MYP alone, which is just great. I mean, you got to see so much, like a lot of hand to hand and fight. To me, that was awesome. I mean, it definitely outdid Filmation.
Aside from Filmation, at times was so conveniently as strong as He-Man. That's when I called foul, even watching it when it was a new show. I'm like, why is everyone as strong as He-Man? Like, if you punch somebody, they go flying several yards in this direction. Or if you kick somebody, they go flying up in the sky. I'm like, why? No. You can't have everyone just because it looks cool and Dragon Ball Z-like. You know what? It's just like, you know, you can't do that. You can't have everybody as strong as He-Man just because it looks cool. And I hated that. Everybody's flying against the wall or flying in the air. You can't do that. It's bad enough watching King Randor do somersaults in the air in slow motion with anime lines flying behind him. Like, stop it! you can't have everybody you just can't do it. There has to be levels of strength. It's like in the
Marvel DC
universe, certain characters are stronger than others, and you can't have King Randor being as acrobatic as you probably would expect He-Man when he's fighting the three giants. No, it doesn't work that way.
And you know, there's certain characters that I didn't want to see the acrobatics out of. You know, I see He-Man at a different level of the super strong, barbaric, or however
you want. The only one who should be doing that.
Yeah, well, that's what's weird. It's like, I almost don't want the extra super flips though from him. It's like, I don't either.
I think it is too much.
Even though, yes, I know he did kind of some kind of those, you know, He-Man forward flips in Filmation, but too many things like, eh. But you know what's weird is there's characters that did get a little more respect that always got picked on, but even still after MYP still got picked on. And like I said, it's poor Mechaneck, but that's the thing about
him. I'm ready to crack skulls over that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. In MYP, even though, yes, it was so stupid and ridiculous with the 5,000 spinning thing against Triclops with his club at the beginning, what's cool is it's showing he could fight if he had to hand-to-hand. But what else was cool was how he caught Triclops off guard and used his extending neck to butt him and knock him, like, you know, 100 feet away. But even during a fight, you see him, like, you know, like, where's King Randor? And even during the fight, Mechaneck's putting his neck up. He's using his periscope vision.
He's settling an old score.
Yeah, so like I said, selling old score. So he's seen what's going on. When He-Man had to fly down to catch King Randor, and they're stuck down there. And then see a neck come down. Yeah, Mechaneck, he used his abilities again. And so they show that Mechaneck is more than just a guy that extend his neck, which I always hated people saying. That's all he does, his neck extends.
His voice sucked, though. I didn't like his voice, and it was too human. I didn't, you know, someone with like a bionic neck like that ought to have like a robotic sounding voice.
I guess I never really thought about his voice in MYP. I just accepted it, but I never thought about that bionic.
Was it Italian enough for you?
No. Like in Filmation, the first time you see him in Disappearing Dragons, he has a real robotic voice. You know, leave it to me, He-Man. You know, with a real robotic tone. Because it makes sense, because his neck is all mechanical. You know, why would he have like a, you know, me?
Hey, there you go.
Everybody at least had a very distinguishable voice. You know, Buzz Off had like the kind of tone in Buzz Off's voice that should have been similar to Mechaneck's. You know, because Buzz Off had like a very, it sounded kind of mechanical almost. You know,
poor Mechaneck has a regular old Larry sounding voice. Just
No. We got Man at Arms for that, and he's crusty and crabby, and he sucks too.
I like this, but you know, now that's what's weird is when you were talking and you were throwing back things to Filmation and talking about it. What I always remembered that I didn't get from the cartoon until we found out later was, after the show was over, you always waited for the morals, and I always thought, man, that sucks. No morals in the cartoon.
I know, until the DVD, man.
DVD, and then I was like, wait a second, there were morals? So what do you think was the reason they didn't put the morals on TV? Do you think it's because everybody picked on it and said, oh, that corny Filmation, and there are morals at the end, and kids won't like it? Why do you think they didn't use those?
I would say because they got that extra 40 seconds of sponsorship in commercials.
Really? You think that was?
I,
You think that too, Tyler? That it was probably just because of commercial stuff or what?
No, I think it was probably just cut because they probably just thought, you know, they obviously had their heart was in the right direction. Like, well, we're going to do this because this is, you know, it's like having that small nod at the beginning of the show, you know, with He-Man saying, you know.
Right.
You know,
the throwback to low.
Yeah, and then it immediately cuts to, like, you know, amping it up, brand new show and all this stuff. I remember people were pissed off about that, thinking they were taking a shot at Filmation, which I never understood that. But
no, if anything, it was a throwback to it.
Yeah, just a simple throwback. But and really, you know, it's nice that they did it, but it also didn't, like, irritate me that they didn't add the morals to it.
I wish they did. I thought it would have been cool for the new generation of kids to see kind of those things. So when I seen him in the DVDs, it was an awesome bonus extra.
Yeah.
Thing.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, there was so much, and I feel like I've probably harped a lot on the negative, and believe me, I could spend a lot more time, and if people want us to do like a second part of this, I'd be more than happy to elaborate more on certain stuff. But
oh, like I said, I've been talking about a lot of the stuff I liked that was good, and then, yeah, there was things that annoyed me too. But, I mean, like, we get to see, like, finally the Snake Men in the cartoon. And sure, yeah. That's a lot of people thought, you know, some things were over the top. But I love seeing the Snake Men. It was crazy seeing a first death in a cartoon when Merman got turned into stone.
And then brought back to life. I'm like, man, foul. Yeah.
You know, and that's what's weird. Now, I know a lot of people were upset. They were like, oh, come on.
Yeah, I thought he was – I thought for sure he was a goner when he got smashed.
Isn't that weird, though, to see the different reactions? Because when he first died, people were like, oh, my God, no, Merman's dead. No, they're screaming. But then when Skeletor finally comes back and with what, the snap of his fingers or whatever he did?
Brings him back, yeah.
Yeah, he brought Merman back. I mean, some people were saying, oh, man, oh, that's stupid. You just took back on an impactful moment. For me, I thought it was cool. I was like, dang.
I thought that was cool as hell, man.
Yeah, because I thought it was how cool Skeletor and powerful that's that.
Right. That shows you how powerful he actually is.
Yeah.
That pissed me off.
What's that?
Pissed me off, man.
You didn't like Merman being brought back?
No, because you're just taking away this whole second season is supposed to say the big threat this year is the Snake Man. This is going to be what's going to carry this entire season. And then within the second episode with Zodak coming in there and just smacking King Esser and throws him down in the abyss, then you got Skeletor coming right back and just kind of undoing everything that King Hiss did, as if like, well, the big villain for the show is pretty much had his balls removed in one episode here. So enjoy the rest of the season because he's not going to be much of a threat.
Right.
Well, I liked it because it shows, like you said, you thought you had one big bad, but it's really like Skeletor's like, okay, now it's on. You guys want to mess? Now I'm going to show you who I'm, you know, who I am and what I'm about. I love that he brought him back because like
they never had any kind of repercussions from Skeletor at all. They never face off again the rest of the season. It's strictly them running around through tunnels and doing this, we're looking for suppose. I'm like, or whatever.
Yeah.
Which could have led to the inevitable, like we said, if we got a third season and when Hordak would have came, which would have been nuts with the Horde, maybe then we could have seen a more powerful Skeletor, even though, yes, we would have seen the Horde dominate, but Skeletor, I think, would have eventually probably won in the end or taken over, or however it would have been.
He would have snuck in, yeah. He would have definitely did something.
Yeah, but I mean, we never, even if we got that also famous last episode with Snake Man-at-Arms, you know, we still don't see Skeletor and King Hiss duking out. And really, I like the idea of them two teaming up. And not to sit there and say that, you know, Tyler, you struck back in the 80s like Jim Cornette. You know, it was still like a cool thing because
People who don't know who Jim Cornette is, he was one of the famous wrestling managers back in the 80s. So there you go.
The guy with the tennis racket, if you're still not sure.
Yep.
But wrestling fans who watch shooting interviews will know what I'm talking about. And I love Jim Cornette. That was not a knock at Jim Cornette. I met him. He's a wonderful guy. He gave me a free autograph. I just felt like, you know, we were left shortchanged so much because you don't see anything more with those two factions ever again. And you would love to think that if it had third season arrived and we got the Horde and their balls weren't cut off too, you know, they actually lit up the idea that the heroic warriors, I'm not going to call them masters and I'm never going to call them that. I hated that idea from the beginning. They're heroic warriors. And that's what I'm sticking with here.
Well, hey, remember they've been referred to Masters of the Universe even back from the first mini comics. They've always had that moniker.
But it was either the villains referred to as the Masters or the entire world was Masters, not a group of heroes called "We're the Masters."
Well,
and
well,
like,
no,
I don't like that at all. They especially the Man-at-Arms would say it.
Well,
I like the way that the MYP did that. that how they kind of explained it. Well, how they would call it the defenders. I like that idea.
Well, you know what's weird is, again, like I said, even in the first mini comics and a lot of the other books, they did refer to most of the time as the good guys, as the masters of the universe. They got it more than the villains. The heroes did get that moniker more. But what people didn't like was in NYP, there's a way He-Man delivered that line that sounded so corny and it sounded so forced.
Yeah, you're all masters of the universe.
Yeah, he was masters of the universe all. And you know, and that did kind of make it seem like, oh God, I hate how he said it, and I don't like them being called that. But
yeah, and then Man at Arms is referring to, we'll send the rest of the masters on reconnaissance. Like, shut up, Duncan. I hate how he was portrayed in that. You know, I just felt like he's just always got something stuck up his butt in every episode. You know, the only ones after the Emerald of Orca's Isle here. It just sounds so.
Yeah, how many times is he going to get caught in that beast that Merman's creature where he's
dear getting caught? God, it's like even they acknowledge that. Why are we doing this again? You know, that was, you know, it's like right out the gate, that was one of the worst episodes they did. It was like the fourth or fifth episode. I'm like, oh man, they're making a full. And that was one of the driest moments of that, of the pilot with them just him stuck in the belly of that stupid fish and trying to get him. I'm like, gosh, this is taking forever here, man. Why are we being forced to go through this? And then we're going to do a whole new episode about just that again. Is
you want to hear Joe's stupid question of the day?
Sure.
Okay. They made that mystic wall that separates from the light and the dark hemisphere, whatever. How, hypothetically, I know it's just a cartoon, and yeah, it's a cartoon. I mean, how tall was that wall supposed to go until, like, the atmosphere in around the entire circumference of one part of the planet? Reason I ask is, they all had flying beasts. Why the hell ain't they just fly over that wall? Unless, I don't get it. You know what I mean? Was it supposed to be I don't know.
I think that the wall, physically, you've seen it to a certain point, and then, you know, it just went up till whatever. That's the way I saw it.
Had they created the Fright Fighter, they probably would have gotten over it sooner.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I mean, like I said, Beastman had his griffins, and I mean, they could have just flew over the wall, unless, like I said, it was just that's how it was supposed to be. It was just supposed to go
up. I don't think they had enough, you know, air equipment to bring an entire army over the Mystic Wall. You know, it's like Skeletor's army was pretty much just the evil warriors. It's not like he. Because we see hints of skeletons and stuff like that. No. But this version of Skeletor strictly had a group of evil warriors, and that was really about it. But they were all powerful, but he didn't have a lot.
He had his flying vehicles, didn't he? Didn't he have those flying birds or those raptors?
The griffins probably
couldn't handle the high altitude.
But Merman, he went out to the Sea of Rakash to get the what was that
cordite.
Stone that he?
The cordite. Yeah.
No, not cordite.
Yeah, the cordite.
The red cordite.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he escaped.
Yeah, he could go, I guess, because he's the only one that can swim. But what I meant is, beyond Beastman's griffins, I mean, they did have their robotic flying machines. Remember, we've seen those in plenty of episodes. He had those things, too.
Oh, the pterodactyls.
Yeah, so why don't they just fly over the damn wall? Unless, like I said, it's just supposed to be so. But that's me with my nitpicking thing. I know it's just a cartoon, but I just had to throw in my nitpicking.
Yeah, I think it's like it was kind of like the Berlin Wall and then a dome over it. You know what I mean? Like they were stuck. They just they
under the dome. Yeah.
It probably meant more for them to actually knock it down someday than just like, hey, you know what? We'll just climb over or just fly over it. You know, well, you know what? That's pretty much due to like Man at Arms' invention is sticking that thing there, so we can actually blame him and his crackpot team of like inventions and stuff. Even though the Sorceress was supposed to have a large part in that, but you see him kind of plant that rod in the ground that kind of raises the.
Shoot her magic into it like they?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. But you know, I'll take any chance to knock MYP versus
Zodak too. Didn't he have something to do with that as well?
No, that was with the Snake Man in the Void.
Oh, okay, right.
Well, only if we could have got Hordak, because when they showed that little taste of Hordak with the episode was...
That's a great episode.
Oh, man. I mean, I was freaking out at how powerful they made him. When you see King Grayskull running at him full force, all Hordak does is just scream at him and make him fly back. That my God, I was just freaking out at seeing the Horde finally.
See, if that was Hero, that wouldn't have happened. You know, Hero would have stood and went toe to toe with a Hordak. You know what I'm saying there?
Is that it?
No, that's what I was going to say.
What about all the power of He-Man's sword? I mean, the sword itself has the power of King Grayskull within it, right? And I don't know if it had any. You know, I'm going by MYP. I mean,
the whole council. Everything, the elders, everybody went into the sword, didn't they?
That's why I'm going to ask Tyler, because I haven't seen the episode in a while.
Yeah, but I believe, if I remember correctly.
The Council of Elders kind of
transferred Grayskull.
Transferred themselves and went into Council of Grayskull into the Orb of Grayskull.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where I got confused, because, okay, back in the past with King Grayskull, like I said, I haven't watched the episode in a while, because I didn't remember how the ending was. But when King Grayskull died, did they transfer his energy into his own sword? And what the council was still, the council elders, weren't they still alive back in that
they were,
time?
Yeah, the council was, they were like all around them.
Yeah, they weren't essentially like the council. Yeah, they were just kind of like the defenders essentially at the time.
Yeah, and then I guess they got transferred into that orb or whatever.
But that was in the first episode where we seen.
Once they decide that, you know, hey, look, we're going to disappear for a while because you're going to defeat Kalidor and his forces. We'll disappear, we'll go inside Grayskull, but the power sword that protects Grayskull is. I hate even saying this right now. I can't believe I'm saying this right now.
Well, because I'm trying to figure out in MYP, like I said, I mean, that sword had a lot of power. I mean, first, you figure the sword itself had the power of King Grayskull within it, I thought. Then inside Grayskull is obviously the power of all the elders. That's the power in Grayskull now that actually charges and enhances and turns He-Man into He-Man. Then I took it like when he got the Cordite crystal, when he had to destroy it, he was like, I will try to transfer the power of the Cordite crystal into my sword or something. Then he looks like he turned into a rock, you know, and the He-Man shatters through it. But did you take it that he absorbed the Cordite power too? Just like, I don't know if that's a nod to the Filmation episode where, remember, his harness was made with Cordite, correct?
Right. Yeah.
So I thought that maybe that made his sword even more powerful in MYP, possibly.
I agree. I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, so it had a lot. Like I said, there was a lot of good stuff. There was more that could have came. And Larry Taylor
wrote some of the best episodes of the series. I mean, we got that great Too Bad origin of Tuvar and Badger. We had
that was nice.
Yes,
yeah, the price of deceit was even though it's definitely a heavily Evil-Land influenced episode, but it's still a pretty solid episode overall. And we got the Roboto Gambit, which gave us, to me, the definitive, if we ever get around to it, arguably my favorite Roboto origin, him being like a chess robot
that was cool.
Yeah, and he decides, you know what, I hate what Teela's talking down to me again, like she does in every episode with everybody here. I'll show her up to a war machine.
They did give a lot of great upgrades. I mean, I loved Roboto's upgrade. I loved finally seeing an origin of Too Bad with that Tuvar Badra. I mean,
that was extremely cool.
Yeah, making
cool
them bounty hunters. I mean, everyone loves a cool bounty hunter, and Tuvar and Badger is opposing bounty hunters. And having Whiplash knowing both of them, it was a cool way of tying the evil warriors all together. Like there's a community of evil warriors even in this. Like then
that shows how powerful Skeletor is too, just how he fuses them together.
Yeah.
You know, like it just does.
It shows what his magic's about and what he could do at any time if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But Stinkor was another one that I really, even though people may not like the episode a whole lot, but I liked.
I liked that origin. I liked how he came from Odifus and we finally got Stinkor. I thought it was great.
I thought seeing Stinkor in action, how he got his armor and everything, I'm like, and he stayed with him. Like, it was great because I've always loved the character Stinkor. I've never understood why Lou Scheimer didn't want to insert the character in the show because he thought it was silly because he stinks. Like, well, what about, you know, I mean,
Mossman.
Yeah, Mossman. Like, it was great to have him as like the, you know, an opposing villain from Mossman. But I don't know. I think Stinkor could have worked in Filmation, but that's a podcast for another day. So, but I liked what we got with that. And the couple of high notes here was the infamous team up of Council of Evil, seeing a lot of the one shot villains come back.
That was really cool.
Skeletor.
Yeah, and cool to see more of Count Marzo and stuff, just to see those characters that didn't have, I mean, yes, they had some couple roles in Filmation, but Count Marzo was just done so much better. I loved the way he looked. I loved his aiming. I loved his powers. I'm one of the people, though, is pro Evil Seed from Filmation. I wasn't feeling MYP. I know people love him, but that's one
I'm pro MYP with that.
Most people are, but I love Filmation Artichoke Evil Seed. I'll take him any day.
And the and this was one of those few examples where I'm like, I hated it when it first came out, but I've grown to like it a lot more, were the three giants and Buzzoff's Pride that joined up with Council of Evil. I hated that episode. I remember people universally disliked it when it came out too. Initial reaction was like, this episode sucks. And it tended to follow a really good episode with a really bad episode. I remember that.
I like the Giants, so I mean, because we
I love them now. I think they were a great addition.
Yeah, because you never seen many of the Giants.
Well, I was wanting to see Megator. When you give me Giants, like, you got Megator and you got Hero, and you're bringing King Grayskull. I'm like, so why are you doing this all the time? But no, they were great Giants. I liked them a lot.
And the one poor character, like I said, we've said it before, and I said it has always been so disrespected and for whatever reason never appeared, and that was Jitsu. Why did we never get Jitsu in MYP? He could have been done so great. I mean, we didn't get him.
I think he was supposed to be in it.
Don't do it.
They made...
Don't say it. What are you going to say, Brian?
Don't do what?
Go ahead. You said he was going to be in it and then finish. Go ahead.
No, they made the Staction of.
Oh, Staction. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say that they were going
to
bring.
Well, Clank Champ was supposed to be in season 3.
No, they're going
to
make Battalion?
Shut up. Wait, Clamp Champ was going to be in season 3 too?
Clamp Champ was going to be in season 3, and he was going to, I think, take over the Man at Arms role because he's been turned into a snake man. And so,
and the two other characters, the ones we never got in the cartoon.
Spice that one, I think, would have shown up in season 3 too, I'm sure.
What about Scareglow and Ninjor? That would have been great to have Scareglow and Ninjor finally popping up too, because we never got them in any cartoon.
Both of them deserve to.
We probably would have gotten them if they went to season 4. Probably.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to have had ties to Anwangar, have like Jitsu being a warlord, Anwangar, and Ninjor is like his bodyguard.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
You know, I think tying those two together there simply because of the martial arts aspect and just kind of making them like enemies on Anwangar, always after the legacy stones.
But what could have been, huh?
Yeah, just a scenario, because they really did flesh out a lot of the characters. Some of them succeeded, some of them didn't. You know, we had Buzzoff being like a hot-headed leader of his people. Stratus was a level-headed leader of his people. You had Manny Faces, you know, kind of doing the same kind of shtick as, you know, he's an actor and uses different personalities and stuff. But I think they really could have Spikor could have been given his day.
I didn't even think about Spikor. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was scheduled to be, you know, an upcoming figure. And, I mean, you can see, I think the Horsemen had released, like, sketches of where they were going with it. He definitely would have been another Brute character, but hopefully portrayed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what's funny is I think they would have did him right, though. We probably wouldn't have got the Artyom Spikor from Filmation. I think we would have got a pretty cool Spikor.
No, they would have nailed him. Yeah, they would have did him good.
I think they would have gotten him well, and I mean, Rio Blast would have been an awesome character in MYP with all the weapons popping out of him.
Jeez, yeah, he definitely would have fit in. I mean, like you said, the over-the-top weapons and things they do.
And
I think
that they created with like the gun chamber for an arm. I mean, to have seen that, but he probably would have had to punch his way out of a Western jail cell and Man at Arms like, I know what I'll do. I'll give you a replacement arm to fix that guy. You know what the design the Four Horsemen came up with, I'm like, all right, fine, I'll let Man at Arms come up with his nonsense this time, you know. But and all the Snake Men, I loved it. Was so awesome seeing Squeeze finally, because he's my favorite Snake Men, and I like that kind of Frank Welker kind of voice that he had. I'm not sure if Frank Welker did the voice of him or not. It sounded an awful lot like Frank Welker, but
I was happy for Snake Face is one.
Yeah, he got the short end of the stick.
He did, and I loved him because, like I said, he was my favorite Snake Man to play with as a kid, and seeing him finally appear, that was awesome to me.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure, because I really thought all they were going to give us was King Hiss, Tongue Lasher, and Rattler, and I thought, oh my gosh,
they're going to give us Snake Face and Squeeze too. I'm like,
yeah, we got them all.
No blast attack though. They couldn't
No blast attack, unfortunately. But it'd been. I think every character could have benefited from a Four Horsemen NYP upgrade. I mean,
oh yeah.
Unless they're given the Whiplash Clawful personality, I think everybody could have really been represented very highly. Even the rest of the Horde, like Modulok and Mosquito and Dragstore. Had the series continued, I really think they would have given us everybody that Filmation didn't feature, or kind of gave us like a not so good interpretation. But I really think we've who knows. I remember Laird and Taylor wanted to do Shakoti, and I think they rejected that idea, because I think it's kind of like the Well of Souls was, and I think that was kind of like his way of trying to hand it like a possible Shakoti. But they just said, you know, they didn't want to go that direction, I guess because they don't like a good idea.
You know, they'll
bring back a one-shot villain, or kind of what with Count Mars and Evil Sea, but the one that scared the hell out of, you know, children as kids. Nah, we don't want to do anything like that.
That would have been
a really good upgrade.
Oh my gosh, man! So that's there could have been so much, and it just really leaves a lot to the imagination of how good the show
Mask would have to be in it.
But of course, but then again too, I also look at how bad season 2 really turned out, because Mattel had their fingers all in the pie of that season.
Oh yeah,
shoehorning things like the spit bowl and all this other nonsense and the stupid, you know, variants, and
they were taking charge over the toys and designs and stuff like that too.
Season 3, if season 2 had done well enough to justify season 3. That's why I feel like I don't know what they would have done to the Horde season, because I really felt like they would have made it over-the-top toy commercials, and not in a good way. You know, you can get away with certain episodes, clearly, like this is advertising, you know, NYP version of Nightstalker. Yeah. But I feared the worst when we were told that. You know, I just they'll tell you, like Dean Stefan and them will tell you that Mattel really was all over that second season and just pushing the Snake Men down the throats. And it was just in a bad way. Yeah, yeah. And I just that's why I feel like everybody says, oh, we could have gotten the Horde, but you saw how poorly the Snake Men were portrayed at first, and then they were very lackluster and mediocre. But it was cool to see them eating Caligars. I will say that. Emphasizing the Snake Men do eat people, I'm like, all right, there's an element that I'm like, at least you're kind of being consistent with it, you know, when I like that idea of. I always felt bad when you see King Hiss like putting down that Caligar tail down. So I'm like, oh dear God, man, he probably ate that guy alive, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
A great badass moment. And then you see those prisoner Caligars and Rattle the Snake that are like accepting their fate that they're going to be eaten alive by King Hiss, and like opens up his hands and bites down into the shoulders of that one Caligar and throws him down in front of King Hiss. I'm like, man, this is getting pretty serious here for a kid's cartoon. But at least they had enough balls to throw enough nods that, you know, they may not be portrayed as the most threatening, but they are very evil. So it was
they did good with it. I liked it. They did a lot of good. Like I said, a lot of the upgrades were really great. But again, you have to respect Filmation for that.
Yeah, Filmation laid a lot of the groundwork, and they did carry over a lot. I mean, some of the things like Manny Faces being controlled by Beastman, that was brought back. You know, Larry DeTaylor wrote that, and obviously that was a Paul Dini episode from Filmation. So there was references from the old show that I liked that they carried over. But there's some stuff like Prince Adam's portrayal I thought was very piss poor in NYP as opposed to Filmation. I thought like this is, and we've touched on this before. I don't need to go back down that road again. But they got a lot of right, a lot of good stuff. You know, they got a lot of stuff right.
Right.
But a lot of stuff was done wrong too. But I think everybody, if you love it, you love it. If you hate it, you hate it. If you feel mixed about it, that's it makes for a great discussion, because everybody, as we've said before, you come on the show and seeing it for the first time. This is what you think of Evil Seed. You go back and watch Filmation, you may not like the version that Joe. I personally like both versions of Evil Seed. I don't prefer one over the other, because both have their own merits and are just as good.
I like Artichoke.
Well, and Artichoke is fantastic because he clearly comes in and dominates everybody. Skeletor too.
That's right.
The MYP version just, you know, is it just takes on the evil warriors and he stops short. But
And you know, and it's like something that I'm sure everybody knows. It's not like I'm saying anything new, but with Prince Adam and He-Man and MYP, it's like, of course, sure, completely different sizes. One's a young 16-year-old boy, the other's a man. But the one kind of cool thing, if you ever look really closely, their faces are pretty much the same. If you ever take a side-by-side and you look at Prince Adam a certain angle, and then you look at the He-Man, they're drawn kind of the same. It's like that is a slightly older-looking Prince Adam. I don't know if you ever really looked, but they're similar. Really similar. I know some parts you might say completely different, but I'll try to do a side by side in case it's something somebody's never looked at. They do look alike, so I thought that was
and
still
should be. There shouldn't be like a drastic difference between Prince Adam and He-Man. Like that's asking too much, you know.
Well, you know, because some people always hated the Clark Kent Superman thing of Prince Adam and He-Man back in the old day. You know, like hey, it's Adam. Oh, it's He-Man, but same person. Yeah. So I think
if people can't tell a person's like, oh, I can't tell it's Bruce Wayne something because you can't tell the jawline or you can't put all this stuff together that all these people that you know simply go missing all of a sudden all the time. And if we're talking 56 years of comic book history, and we're supposed to, the disbelief that you can buy into, people just have to be under the impression that you can't tell who a superhero is once they have that costume on. The same thing is expected with He-Man here. It's like,
sure. I just like the nod. I like that nod.
I do too. I like that, and I appreciate that. And I'm like,
yeah, because it was still a similar face, just different bodies, but still a similar face when you really look at it.
He-Man has a deeper voice and a tan in Filmation, clearly justifiable, whereas Prince Adam looks like he hasn't been out in the sun in a long time. His voice is
not that Italian.
There you go with that.
So I love that idea, and people want to tear it apart. I reserve the right to punch you in the stomach if I see you in person.
And that's the violent Tyler right there. That's why we call him T-Rex.
Yeah, but I don't have little arms, to smack you around with.
There you go. Well, Brian, I will pass it to you. You do your thing. You do how we gonna wrap us up here.
All right, man. Well, it's been a great episode, and just want to say thanks to everybody who's listening. Sorry, I'm not my normal self. I'm getting over a cold. And I'll pass it on to you, Tyler.
I'm going to do a little something different here. I'm going to first address a Mr. Dalton Grasmid, who contacted me to tell me that the highly positive influence in respect to the new adventures has really turned his outlook. And
awesome.
He has definitely become a big new adventures fan and with the cartoon and toys. So we definitely are making strides in getting the word out there that this property deserves respect.
Yes.
And second of all, to Mr. Make sure I want to make sure I get everything right here, people.
Go ahead.
Hang on a sec here. Oh, Mr. Michael Bell. Make sure I just want to make sure I do all this right here. Reached out and just expressed how much he really enjoyed the show, particularly last week's too. So, people always just keep letting us know what you're enjoying, what you're not, what you want us to talk about. We need to hear positive feedback here, people. We thrive on that. It lets us know that, what we're doing means a lot to people and that they appreciate.
Feedback in general, what I mean? Like, just let us know if anything, good or bad, just it helps.
And we really appreciate it. So to Dalton and Michael, thanks for reaching out and saying how much you guys enjoy the show. I know there's others out there who enjoy it. Let us know too. Let us know on personal message you want to send to us, or a nice Hallmark card, with a message written there with a little pop out greeting. But if you send something with like the Friends theme song in it, I'm going to send it back to you with a bomb inside of it.
That's it right there. And Michael, Michael Bell, that's the guy who is one of the people that runs the Descendants of Grayskull on Facebook, correct?
Yes, correct. And he seems to be a big fan of our show, and I definitely want to give those two gentlemen their praise for reaching out and saying how much they enjoy our show. And then my recommendation, I guess this week, since we're talking MYP here,
I'm probably going to have to go with The Last Stand. The Last Stand is probably the episode I go back and watch the most because of all the action going on in it of He-Man. What we would always love to see is He-Man just taking on all sorts of evil wars all at the same time. Taking on the Giants, taking on Stinkor and Count Marzo and clashing swords with Triclops and taking on Webstor and Clawful and Tubat and Whiplash and Skeletor. And it looks like he's going to die. And then all of a sudden, Mossman comes in ready to kick everyone's ass and big waves of grass and stuff like that. And you got the big epic music kicking in. So it was a really good, really good episode. And that's it gets me pumped up to go to the gym when you see all that, you know, butt kicking going on in that episode there too. So if you need a good perk me up to get yourself to go to the gym, hop in The Last Stand there, and I'll get your adrenaline pumping like watching the second Rocky movie.
I guess so. There you go. Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for me though, I guess I'll do shout outs to the groups. I mean, you mentioned the Descendants of Grayskull with Michael Bell, but Descendants of Grayskull, great group on Facebook. But always go to the all-encompassing Masters of the Universe, He-Man, She-Ra, New Adventures page on Facebook, Masters and Mythos, Vintage Obscure page, Descendants of Grayskull, and Motu Nation. And I was going to give a shout-out and a happy birthday to Brian Woods from Descendants of Grayskull, too. Cool guy, great group. Check it out.
All right. Now, I just want to say, check out the all-encompassing page. Go to HemanWorld.com. And rock on, man. Till next time.
Have a powerful day.
By the way, I faked every orgasm.
I am Chef Boyardee. Perhaps you have seen my picture on Chef Boyardee products at your grocer's.